Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, part of the many amazing services provided by the Forever Family Foundation, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and, of course, the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and I hope you are all safe and sound during these strange and trying times that I like to refer to as the zombie apocalypse. As your host tonight, I have the pleasure of having a chat with the very gifted medium, Renee Buck. So sit back, relax, don't worry about the corona for the next hour, and open your mind to the realm of possibilities happening in the great unknown that we call the afterlife. A little bit about Renee. She's a certified medium from the Forever Family Foundation who, as a child, had out-of-body experiences, prophetic dreams, and visits from spirit. After a couple of family tragedies, she began a lifelong quest to answer some questions around the issues of life, death, and the purpose, our purpose on Earth. It wasn't until she was in about her 40s that Renee began consciously to develop her gift. She began by visiting spiritualist churches, and eventually she began to understand the science of mediumship and the art of interpreting the symbols conveyed by those no longer in the physical. She maintains a practice in California, and her website is www.whispersfromthelight.com. And one more thing, our show is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters such as the Camlock Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisietti, and I Am Psychic, or Am I Psychic, and other value supporters. Our main topic of discussion tonight is spiritualism and mediumship. But dear listeners, tonight's show is conducted for research and informational purposes only. Your questions, they're more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Renee was not going to be performing any readings tonight. So if you have questions for our esteemed guest, Renee, please feel free to call 1-800-627-6008. So that was a windfall. I'm here calling from Albany. Renee is in California, so it's a couple of thousand miles away, and things can happen with the telephone lines and all kinds of things. But we're very excited to have her on the show. Our producer is doing his very best right now. Gone, so it shouldn't be very long.
Here we are.
Back on the show. Okay, great. So, Renee, you probably missed my spiel, but that's okay. You're back?
Yes.
Are you safe and sound?
Yes. I am. I'm safe and sound.
You're safe and sound. Are you practicing your social distancing?
I am. Yes, except for my cat. He and I are cuddling, but other than that, yes.
Oh, good. Good, good. Yeah. I think it's really helping. I think it's really helping with, you know, everybody being on board with this. It's, you know,
because
it's a killer virus. It really is. Just looking at the statistics, it's, you know, it ranges anywhere from 3% mortality here in the United States based on confirmed, you know, you take the death rate and you divide by the confirmed cases. And there could be many confirmed cases that are not confirmed, so the numbers can drop. But right now, with confirmed cases, it's about 3%. Italy, it's about 12%. Right. It's incredible.
Yeah, so it's shocking. It's shocking what's going on right now.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're safe and sound. And I just wanted to welcome you to the show, and let's just jump right into it. So today, our main topic is dealing with spiritualism and mediumship. So I know I have my beliefs on how they're related to the afterlife, but can you tell us your perspective on these two, very broad terms? In other words, what is spiritualism and its influences on modern-day mediumship?
Okay, so first of all, I think just to put a little perspective on it and why I chose this topic, spiritualism is kind of my initial frame of reference when it comes to being an evidential medium, because it is through the spiritualist church that I first developed my abilities. And I think that's true for a number of Forever Family mediums. I know at least five people who were affiliated or associated with the spiritualist church in Massachusetts that I attended for a number of years. But, you know, I think that it's also helpful for people to know a little bit about spiritualism because there are a lot of opportunities for learning, development of mediumship, development of people's healing gifts if there is a spiritualist church near you. So it comes up more, even though I don't, you know, evangelize or promote spiritualism per se, it comes up fairly often with clients or people who email me asking for, you know, if I can tell them where they might learn about, you know, how to develop their own abilities as a medium. And so I end up pointing them to the nearest spiritualist church if they don't have access to other mediums in their area. So
can anybody like develop mediumship, you think, like through spiritualist churches or through other mediums?
Yes. So we're all wired. You know, we all have the capacity to develop as a medium. But I think that, you know, just as an athlete or a musician or an artist has sort of an innate talent, certain people vibrationally will be probably quicker to pick up mediumship to connect than others.
Right.
But,
yep.
You know, sticking with it and staying with it is a lot of it, and just like anything,
a lot of work.
You know, the more a lot of focus,
a lot of commitment.
I probably spent at least 7 years in classes and in development circle before I felt ready to actually offer my services as a medium, you know, to the broader community. I mean, I volunteered regularly at you know, church festivals and other things, but it was some time before I felt ready. And I think the other thing about spiritualism that a lot of people don't really understand is that it's not just a religion. And in fact, you know, the way that spiritualists themselves define spiritualism is that it is, you know, first a science and then a philosophy and then a religion, based on continuous life and the demonstrated fact of communication by means of mediumship, you know, from those in the spirit world. So the focus on science, on fact, on evidence, I think is really sort of lays a foundation for any mediumship and anyone who practices mediumship. So, so that's why I felt like it might be worth just raising the awareness of the spiritualist church, which, you know, and on the religious side, it's very much like a universalist church. If you were to go to a service or a, you know, Unitarian approach, very open, very welcoming of a variety of religious backgrounds and philosophies. So
that's
that
wonderful.
Way, yeah.
I know they have a lot of spiritualist churches. I think probably the leading nation in spiritualist churches is England. They got a ton of them over there. And I believe it's not where it started, but they've really, really adopted it as part of their philosophy.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I meant to look up the number of spiritualist churches here in America, and I honestly don't have that number. I know there's a lot more on the East Coast than out here, you know, on the West Side. And throughout the country, but I don't have that number.
And you know what? It doesn't matter. You know, if you read the history books, I know spirituality, I think, officially started with the Fox sisters somewhere near Buffalo, somewhere in New York when they heard knocking and everything. And that was like in the mid to late 1800s, and everything developed after that.
And, it became more organized, I think, probably in the early 1900s.
Absolutely. Well, that's that's good information. Now, do you think that, like, can anybody be spiritual and not subscribe or believe in mediumship? These are tough questions.
I know, right? So, you know, what does it mean to be spiritual? That's a huge question, and I think it's a very personal question. It depends on the individual, and people pursue their own spirituality in a variety of ways. So I don't know that it has to connect to mediumship per se, but I think that all mediums, at least all mediums that I know, are very spiritual people. They believe in that it's a natural thing to have a connection to spirit, to have a connection to our loved ones, to our guides, to God, however you understand God to be. So, but how people get there, you know, whether it's through a religion, whether it's through a practice of meditation or yoga or the study of mediumship or the study of you know, energy healing. There are many ways, you know,
There's
or just nature, just being
there,
in nature, being, you know, being connected energetically to nature. I think there are so many ways to find your path and to connect with that divine seed within, because that's what it's all about, is finding sort of your higher self, your God self, your better self, as you move through the paces and challenges of your life.
Yeah. I believe that there's a lot more happening than what we can perceive. I mean, we have our five or six senses, depending on what books you read, and but there's a lot more going on out there that we just can't perceive with the regular senses, and that's where science kind of, you know, you mentioned science a little bit earlier, and, you know, what we call, what spiritualists and mediums and what we call science is, like, you know, proof of, like, hey, how did this person come up with that? Unfortunately, in the scientific world, it's all, like, anecdotal, unfortunately. It's not, you know, there's no way to physically prove it, but, you know, that's the limitations of science. It's based in physical, and this is not physical at all. So I think we're getting closer to the point of being able to let everybody understand about this, but we're not there yet, you know. But with the internet and with people being online and being able to connect to each other, I think we're making leaps and bounds in this day and age more than ever before.
Right. And I think that, you know, I believe that spirit wants us to bring as many facts and pieces of evidence forward so that we as a people can move from just faith to and through belief to knowing that spirit is around us, that our loved ones are around us, that life is continuous, that love endures the change called death. So you know, I feel like we are, I mean, the term unshakable faith, I feel like I've gone beyond unshakable faith to certain knowing, because the evidence is always so strong on a regular basis with every reading. So
you are preaching to the choir, sister, because I have seen and heard some things that could not be defined any other way than there has to be another force out there. I do not claim to be a medium. I have no skills in that realm, but I have seen mediums, and I've seen good mediums, and I've seen bad mediums. But the good mediums were really the ones that, you know, that really affected me and made me truly believe that there is something else going on.
Right. Have you ever tried, Roman? Have you ever tried to bring,
you know what, I went for
under
a lesson
the guidance
once,
of a medium?
And I was told I had very strong psychometry abilities.
Uh-huh.
I remember. I grabbed this one lady's ring, and the name John came into my hand. And this lady just started bursting out crying, like we were partnered up or whatever. She gave me her ring. I said,
yes.
John. I said, well, that was my grandfather's ring. His name was John, you know. I mean, I don't know how it came to me. I can't describe it, if it was luck or whatever. I don't think it was luck because think of all the... Okay, it's a common name, but still, there's a lot of common names. And what are the odds, right? I've been told that I have very strong... if I went into development and all that, but, you know, it's just... It's a commitment that I, you know, I have so many other balls in the air that I just can't commit to it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very interested in it.
Right. Well, right now is the key thing, right? There may be a time in the future when you have a little more time and space and the opportunity and the teacher presents themselves. So at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any, I personally don't go about preaching spirituality to everybody that I meet, but at the same time, you know, I'm able to defend my position on the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go, yeah, well, what about this? I can name 12 examples to anybody that comes my way.
Right.
The believers are going to believe, the not believers, I'm not going to, you know, and I don't want to change their minds. It's not up to me to do that. But what are some of your best arguments for that, for spirituality?
For connection to, to spirit?
Let's say you came across a skeptic, an open-minded skeptic, and you wanted to give him a couple of snippets about, all right, this stuff really does exist. So, What would you say after that sentence?
I guess I would give examples of messages that I have received about my loved ones from mediums that don't know me. And then stories about messages that I've brought through for people that have a physical, especially those that have a physical basis or that have some mystery around them that have to, you know, you have to look at, like, you have to go find the answer to it later. Those are the most fun.
That is the strongest evidence,
right?
By the way.
Yes,
that is,
right.
Because you know what? Because you could be accused of reading people's minds.
Right.
And if they didn't even know it at the time and they find it out later, that's probably the most extremely evidential. It's like a double-blind kind of experiment of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, just in the last 6 months, there have been two instances with my clients where physical objects were being sought. And usually in a spirit, in a regular spirit meeting, reading, or I call it messages from loved ones, I don't have people asking questions. But occasionally, spirit will say, they have a question. Let them ask the question. So right at the end, so I'm like, okay, you have a specific question, so go ahead. And in one case, it was a woman who was mystified that a painting she had painted for her father was missing. She was in his house and was going through stuff, and she couldn't find this painting, and he used to always hang it in the bathroom. It was gone. Mm-hmm. And where was it? He apparently had taken it in to show his friends in his workplace. And it seemed to have disappeared. So I asked him, and what he showed me was that it was under other stuff. It was, like, hidden under things. And she's like, she said, you know, I have looked through the whole house. I said, I feel like it's in a closet, or I feel like it's under a bed, but it's under or inside. It's darker. It's dark in that place where it is, and it's covered with stuff. And so she went home, and 2 days later I got a text from her saying, wow, I went into the closet in the bedroom, and it was under a bunch of stuff. So he was right. But
wow.
So that was just one. That was one example. And the other one was a woman. She recently came. It was her second time coming to me. And she arrived at my apartment building, and I met her at the gate. And she immediately held out this chain from her necklace, from around her neck. And she said, this is the chain. This is the chain. I found it. And I had no idea what she was talking about because it was from a couple of years ago. And and so she had to remind me that, you know, at the end of the reading, I asked if she had a question, and it was that, where's the chain that my daughter gave me? She couldn't find it. And her daughter had showed me that it had fallen behind like a radiator. and it was on the floor behind a radiator. So she went home, and apparently she found it,
it was.
Behind the radiator. Yes.
That is good.
So,
yeah. I mean,
you know, those kinds of things. Right, right. I mean, how else could I, you know,
no,
have known that, but to have received that information from spirit. So those kinds of things are quite fun because they're physical results from
spirit. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, absolutely. So, Renee, this has mm-hmm. been really fascinating. We're going to go for a little commercial break to hear some words from our sponsors, and then we're going to continue talking about this wonderful topic. And, you know, I'm going to pick your brain for the next 40 minutes after that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so stand by, everybody. We'll be right back.
The Camlac Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlac Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. before the commercial break, we were talking with Renee about some of the best arguments that she had for spirituality, and she was kind of going through it. So, Renee, I want to ask you somewhat of a personal question. I have, like personal for me, that is, I have a friend mm-hmm. who's recently transitioned from a very aggressive advanced cancer. He was a devout religious Catholic, went to church every Sunday, great guy, freaking amazing guy, an amazing guitarist as well. I don't know if being religious qualifies as being spiritual. So tell me, what do you think on crossing over somebody that's really religious, Catholic, what do you think his initial experiences would have been when he crossed over?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that, well, I know that the first thing that will happen is that this friend of yours, this person transitioning, will be met by loved ones and probably a guide or two, helping them to reorient, to find themselves, to figure out what is going on. That's assuming that they have moved toward the light. And somebody who is religious, I think, would understand that or expect that there might be a light that appears when they're passing, and would move toward that. They'll probably hear someone calling their name, and so they'll move in that direction. But, you know, and from there, the thing that I experience in terms of that person's availability to those still on Earth, there are a few variables to that. Generally, in the first couple of weeks after passing, they will, together with their guides and with the help of their guides, be able to check in on those that are still here, those loved ones that are grieving, use their energy to comfort them, to be present as often as they can. And then there's a time where they need to fully reorient their energy on the other side to basically become their fuller selves. We're just a piece of our consciousness down here on Earth in these bodies. And when we go to the other side and we go through that transformation process, we become our fuller selves, our whole consciousness. We become aware of our past lives, of what we did on the other side. So while loved ones come through and they can maintain their personality, they also come through with a level of wisdom and understanding of their true connection and relationship to those on Earth, which goes beyond and surpasses the relationship that they had here.
Right.
So
that's those are some pretty impressive things that you just said. I think that, you know, I totally, first of all, buy into what you're saying. I don't think you become, like, when I cross over, I'm not going to become omni-Roman. I'm not going to become all-knowing, but I will have more insight into the whole picture.
Exactly. And into what you were meant to accomplish in this lifetime.
Do you think we're here to learn? We're here. It's like a fast path of learning, right? Because in spirit, I think that in spirituality, if you want to, you know, if you want something, you just think about it or whatever, and it materializes. You want to go somewhere, you're there. It's everything's right at your, you know, it's different
in spirit,
than in the physical world. Here, you have to really, you're slowed down. You're weighed down. You're everything. You're diseased down. You're sickened down. You know, you have physical things that limit you that is not there. Mm-hmm. So, I think there's more learning to be done on this side than there is on that side, or at least at a quicker rate.
I think, I feel like this is, Earth is the toughest learning or training ground, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's the greatest benefit if we actually take advantage of all of the opportunities that we're presented with. If we address the challenges that are in front of us and find our way to the other side of them with love and compassion as we go. So,
Yeah. Back to my friend. I mean, I kicked myself for not having a deep spiritual conversation with him. I mean, I'm getting on in years a little bit, so I have more and more friends. As you get older, you get more and more friends that transition, and I've had so many friends that transition. It's like, I should have talked to him about the other side and this and that. So this guy actually tried. I said, hey, buddy, you're you don't have much time left. We both know it, and I just wanted to let you know you're going to be fine. Everything's going to be great, and this and that, and don't worry. It's just a transition. Blah blah blah. And his answer back to me, was that he felt very uncomfortable talking about his demise while he's still living. So I tried it for the first time, and I immediately shut up about that subject, and I changed the subject so quick, and I just went on to something else.
Yeah. Well, it is true that every person prepares themselves in their own way, or they fight it. They struggle with it. And they hang on for as long as they can out of fear. And I guess, that makes me think of my parents. My father's faith was not real strong. He feared death, and he had been ill with emphysema for many, many years. My mother's faith was very strong, and she was generally physically healthy and was caring for him when she was struck by cancer as well and passed within 6 weeks of diagnosis. So it was a shock to everyone, but the experience that my father had after that, when she literally appeared to him, and this is a man who almost disowned me when he found out that I was developing as a medium. Like he wouldn't have it. He would hang up the phone if I called and was talking about it. So when my mother passed, he was very fearful, like, okay, now what's going to happen to me? But she came to him and she appeared in physical form, scared the heck out of him, and he cried out for my sister, Connie, who was living there at the time and taking care of him. And so Connie came running, and she's like, what? What's going on? And my father said, your mom was here. Elva was here. And Connie's like, what? It's right there, right where you're standing in the doorway. Your mom was here.
Apparitions, yeah. And very common.
And I looked at her, and she came toward me, and she kissed me on the cheek. She said, hi, honey, and kissed me on the cheek. And then I kind of yelled, and she was gone. But she was here. And after that moment, when he actually had experienced my mother visiting him, he completely relaxed about his passing. He relaxed about his illness. And he knew it wasn't too far away because he was losing, his oxygen capacity almost daily. But by the time he was ready to go, he just said, you know what? Let's set up hospice. I'm ready to be with your mom. I know she's going to be there for me. Let's get it done. I mean, that was pretty much how he presented it to the family. Yeah. And from the time they set him up, he was gone a day later. He was ready. So it really, I think a lot of it depends on whether you fully believe, whether you fully know in your core that life goes on after passing. And my mom made sure that my dad understood that he could let go. He had the freedom to let go in peace because their love was so strong. So, people who are, when you say very religious, and that religion keeps them from believing that we can communicate with our loved ones.
Yeah.
Then it creates more fear of death than a willingness.
He referred
to
the man upstairs a lot, and it's all in his hands now, and all that kind of stuff. But he was looking at recovery, and he wanted to go with me and play guitar in Tennessee, in Nashville, and do all this stuff. And he had hopes and dreams and everything. And then at that point, I'm not going to quash that. I'm just going to, just encourage him. Just, whatever makes you feel comfortable, you just got to make them happy, just during their last days or whatever.
I agree. Yeah.
So, But I did. Yeah. I did try it. I would be. You know. Mm-hmm. I'd really have to feel out if and when this situation presents itself again. I would really have to feel out what their belief system is before doing that. I would never want to make anybody uncomfortable, especially during, you know, that last period of their life, right, or whatever, you know. But yeah. I think my buddy understands, and I think he's in a better place, and he's looking, yep, down at me and smiling, yeah, you know.
Rid of that body and can move about the universe now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And believe me, this guy was a saint. He was he was an amazing father. He was an amazing person. He once kicked the crap out of somebody three times his size at this camp because this guy was beating up his wife. He interceded, kicked the crap out of him. Like, how did the hell did you do that? This guy was like three times the size of him, literally, you know. And he just, you know, he did the right thing, you know what I mean? So anyways, he was never, you know, just very soft-spoken. You know? He's like, I mean, if there's a heaven, which there is, he's there. He's just right there.
Right. Right.
Anyways, that's just, you know, let's move on.
So okay.
Let me ask you, when you practice your mediumship, what are some of the stages you go through? Do you alter your consciousness? Do you have a ritual? What do you do?
I do have a ritual. So, I get ready. First of all, I clean up my room so it's nice and neat, so the energy is clear. I open all the windows so it's all fresh air. And then after I close them, I sage it all. So I found that there's a direct correlation between staging, which helps to, and I tell anybody who's here, who's not meant to be here, who's not here for this person that's coming up, my client, or here to work with me, that they have to go. They can come back later if they want to. I don't care, because I don't really sense spirit around me unless I'm trying to connect. So that's
right,
a good thing.
Right.
But yeah, so I just sage it, I clear the air, clean up my space, and then I sort of sit quietly and I make the call right at the moment, because spirit has, you know, we've made an appointment and spirit is going to be there on time. And so I call the client, and then the first thing that we'll do is I'll explain a little bit to them about how I receive communication, because as you know,
so you do most of your readings over the phone?
Different. Most of them are, I would say, well, right now they all are.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's true.
But generally I would say maybe 70% are by phone.
Okay.
And the other 30% are in person. But so I explain to them how I receive information. My primary is clairvoyantly, and then the audio and the sensing and all that will kick in through the course of the reading, or as I move from spirit communicator to spirit communicator. So I'll explain all that so they understand it, especially if they've never had a reading before. And I talk about how spirit uses symbols and how we're interpreting those symbols, et cetera. And then I'll do a nice meditation, which is an energy, because it's a three-way communication, as you know, between, you know, my client, myself, and spirit, a triangulation of energy. If I take the, you know, the 10 minutes or so to do a meditation that calls in our healing guides and clears our energy centers, all of our chakras, and does a sort of a full body healing, then I know that we are clear, both of us are clear, we're connected, because that's part of the meditation, is imagining that we're in the same room together. And then when that's all done, I turn on my timer and away we go. So
fantastic.
But the meditation,
you were mentioning about getting rid of like the spirits that were not, you know, usually when somebody comes for a reading, it's for a particular spirit. And, you know, there's other spirits that show up. What can you elaborate again on how you get rid of those other spirits that are not wanted at that time?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a, I live in an old building here, right, 1929, and I know that there are a number of spirits that like to visit this building, so I just am really conscious about clearing my space of anybody who shouldn't be here during that time, so that I don't have interference from any spirits who are here. Or it could be somebody whose reading I did the day before and they're just curious about me, you know, so they're checking in on me or whatever. Or some family member of mine that really doesn't need to be here, you know. So I just clear them all out and I say, I only those who are related to my clients, who are here for my clients and who are here to work with me, only those loved ones and only those guides are welcome over this next, you know, hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is.
Right. And they tend to listen to you?
Yeah. I mean,
that's great.
Yeah. It works.
That's great.
At any rate, yeah.
I've been doing these interviews for over 2 years now on a monthly basis, and I've actually never asked that question before. It's never, you know, I've never, you know, you just brought it out in me. You're bringing out the best in me.
Well, I'm sure every medium has their own process.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, over the years of, how many years have I been doing this? I'm trying to think now. 14 years maybe that I've been doing readings for the public.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, it's gotten, I sort of honed my process.
Yeah, you are well seasoned.
Yeah.
Well, that is great. So listen, Renee, we're going to take another little short commercial break just to, you know, to hear from our sponsors again. And when we get back, we got a couple more things to discuss. And really, this has been super interesting. And we'll stay on the line, everybody, and we will be back very shortly.
The Camlac Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlac Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparizetti.com. That's drparizetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Roman Karpichka. You're listening to Signs of Life, and we're here with the Renee Buck, a very gifted, certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation. We have been talking about spiritualism and mediumship and experiences of all kinds, my experiences, her experiences, what makes Renee tick, all that kind of stuff. And we are back with some more deep probing questions for Renee that I'm sure she'll gladly enlighten us as listeners to some of the stuff that'll just, you know, give insight into her ability as a medium. So, Renee, do you do any teaching? Do you teach anything with mediumship? Mm-hmm. Do you have any classes that you give or anything like that?
At the moment, I don't. It's probably been a few years now, and it's only because I don't have an apartment large enough to offer classes, and I'm living right in Hollywood, so...
Wow.
You know, the cost of trying to find a place is sort of prohibitive. So I have not, and the parking, you know, parking here is just, it's crazy. So I'm limited, actually, in terms of all those things. So it's unfortunate because I do love teaching. And, and you know, I actually use a book written by another of the Forever Family Foundation mediums, Janet Nohavik, her book about mediumship. Yeah, it's a great book, and I think that the students find it interesting, and it's not too much, too lengthy. It's got lots of great exercises, and I think it's a great way to move, sort of help people move through their psychic development and into mediumship. And If I do change my living situation, I will definitely put that sign back up for classes.
So you said you practice, you live in Hollywood, and without naming any names, you have any, like, you know, movie stars, TV stars that come to visit you?
No.
No,
I haven't yet. No.
Not yet. Okay.
No. There's one woman who was very mysterious. So she might have been. She sent me a bank check. I never really actually knew her full name. It was by phone. So She might have been, but I'll never know.
Or she might have done what I've done. I'm an open-minded skeptic, even though I believe in this stuff. But whenever I have a reading, especially from a new medium, I will make arrangements to pay that person anonymously in advance. I will not give a credit card. It's not that I don't trust mediums. Like, I got to know you to trust you. Put it that way. And
right.
I just don't want. I don't want to have the what ifs. Okay, she got my name. From the credit card statement, if I paid in advance, she Googled my name, saw what happened, blah, blah, blah. You know, it just, those what ifs can completely ruin a reading. And I've been to mediums
like that.
Yeah, you
know what, I think, Roman, though, I would imagine that all the other mediums are the same as I am with respect to this.
The respectable ones, yes.
The less you know about the client, the better. Because the goal is to not be in your conscious thinking mind, and it's to be completely open to whatever spirit is bringing through. And so, you know, when somebody pays, I see their full name, but I never ever Google, because I get it. You know, I can get in my head about it.
And in fact, that can block you.
I have a lot. Right, it can block me. It can, you know, it just can be confusing because I might have certain conscious thinking expectations when actually what spirit brings through is quite different. And so, you know, I sort of learned that the less you know, the better. And also with respect to when people come back to me, you know, a year or two later, generally, like I never take notes after reading. Like, I don't record anything. I don't take notes. I don't want to remember what came through before, because that sets up my expectations for the next reading, and it's better if I don't.
Are you in any kind of trance state when you're doing these readings?
I think, I don't know if you can call it, it's a semi-hypnotic state. And my client is too. After the meditation, we're both in this zone that opens us up to spirit.
Oh, so you get the client also to meditate. Okay.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I do a guided meditation.
Okay.
For both of us. Yes, for both of us. Yes, exactly. So I want them to be clear as I'm clear. And, you know, all of the anxiousness and nervousness of, you know, building up to the reading for the client is erased in that. And so the energy is calm and clear and open. So, I think that's fine to take precautions if you feel better about it. But honestly, there are millions of pieces of evidence that a medium can bring through that will never be found on Google.
Of course, but you know what? There are charlatans out there. I mean, this is the real world, and you got to take precautions, all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
that's true. Yeah,
everybody wants to protect their investment.
I would say do your homework, right? You know, do your homework.
Yeah. When I first started this, you know, I was desperate. I didn't do my homework, and my first couple of mediums were horrendous. They were just one of them asked me to bring a picture of my son with me. You know. And then, oh, yeah, I see your son beside you, you know? Yeah, you mean the picture I'm holding? You know, it was so bad, you know? But then, you know, through a lot of research, I discovered the Forever Family Foundation and their fine mediums that they have, and just, you know, that whole world of where they've taken it really many, many levels above. And I think I'm very grateful for that.
It's an amazing organization, you know, what
it is.
Fran and Bob
Absolutely.
Has put together.
Bob and Fran,
and all of the people
amazing,
that they bring together.
Amazing people. I love them dearly. And, you know, from day one, we just hit it off. And, you know, I would do anything for them.
Yeah.
So do you, what kind of recommendations would you give to your students? If you still, you know, if you ever did have students or when you did have students, to connect with the other side, what? I mean, I know there's that guided meditation and everything, but what kind of mindset should people be in if they have any hope of, you know, connecting with the other side? Not to connect with a particular spirit or anything, because I think that's asking a little too much, but just to get a taste of it, you know what I mean?
Well, I think there's something that a minister at the Spiritualist Church years ago said from the platform. He was giving a lecture, I think, or maybe it was a class of his. I think it was in a class, perhaps.
Okay.
And honestly, I forget his name at the moment. But he said the best way to be listening for spirit, listening for communication, is to imagine that you're on the phone and that you've just asked a question. And you're just waiting. Your mind is open. It's blank. It's expectant. But you don't have any preconceived idea of what that answer is going to be. That's the best state to be in. It's just complete openness and just a sense of waiting. Not to be trying too hard to see something or hear something or feel something. If you try too hard, you're going to miss it. It's really just about being open and being receptive and letting things come in. Like when you touched that woman's ring and you wanted to say John and you just said it, right? It's trusting what's coming through, not filtering it or monitoring
it
or wondering.
To think about
it. Right. But we have to, it's really important to not filter what's coming through and to just trust it and just to say it. Because that's where the magic is. That's where the most unexpected things sometimes are the best pieces of evidence.
Right.
And I love it when it's
fantastic.
Those unexpected things, and they're spirit so creative. I had a young boy, a brother of a client, come in wearing all green, head to toe, all green. But I couldn't hear him, and so I told my client, I sense a young boy here. I didn't know she had a brother in spirit, but I could see he was young. They said, he's all in green. I don't know what that means. And she's like, I don't know what that means either. So I'm like, okay, green doesn't mean anything, the name green. So he went away. The mother came in. We dealt with her. And then the young boy came back, and this time he was dressed like with a hat. He looked like a leprechaun. So I'm like, okay, well, he's all in green, but now I feel like I want to say St. Patrick's Day. And she said, oh, well, his name was Patrick. And I'm like, okay, great. So you have to just, say what they're showing you and not think it's going to be something silly, because that's what they're trying to get you to say, because that's where the evidence is, right?
I think those are very good words. And you know, with that, Renee, our hour is up pretty much. So but before we go, I want to plug your website again. That's www.whispersfromthelight.com. I'm sure all the information
that's
is in there that, to get a reading, a booking, to find out more about you. And I encourage our listeners to definitely give you a call. And please promise me that you will come back on the show at some point, because I loved talking to you. This was amazing. It was the fastest 1 hour interview ever.
Yeah, I fully enjoyed it. And I really appreciate, again, everything that Forever Family does.
They're amazing.
I feel very blessed to be part of this organization and all the work that they're doing.
It's really good. It's one of those classic, situations where something good came out of something bad,
Exactly.
Fran and Bob experienced a tragic loss many, many years ago, and, it kind of booted them in the butt to start something up, and boy, did they ever on steroids.
Right. Grief can be a catalyst for so much good.
Oh,
I see that so often. I see people motivated to move. Yeah.
So with that, everybody, we want to bid you good night. Stay safe. Stay corona-free. Have a, drink some Coronas. We'll talk to you. I'll be back in a month from now. And, spirituality is awesome. And, this whole study about the afterlife is just, it's a wonderful thing. And, the afterlife is going to be scientifically proven. The other side is just a heartbeat away. Science is going to prove it. So with that, good night, everybody. And thank you again, Renee.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Good night.